Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Thank you, Scott, and hello everyone in Podcastville or Internet land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex Snitker, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate and the man with the epic beard, Mr. Adrian Wiley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, sir. How are you?
Doing better. Doing better, man. Doing better. It's good to be on the air. Good to be on the air.
Yeah. Except I gotta say, my beard is not quite as epic as normal. It's getting a little scraggly. It's kind of getting a little bit of an Osama bin Laden look.
Yes, you do. Like, you grow beard hair like a Middle Easterner.
I do very much. Oh, it's funny. I was in the grocery store last night, right? And I'm walking the aisles, and a dude. You know how when a dude like make eye contact with you and it's sizing you up type?
Oh, like, you're looking me up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you plotting on me, boy.
So, yeah. So of course, and you know, dudes get exactly what I'm saying. Women might not quite understand this, but it's a thing. It's a vibe. You just get it. You know,
I think sometimes women look each other up about down.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so. But it's more of a catty thing, I think.
That's true.
This is, potential for throwdown. So I get that look from dudes. So of course I give it back. You know, I walk two aisles later and there's another dude, same thing, you know, scoping me out, you know, posturing a little bit. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? And I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if it's this beard, you know? Well, then I realized I was wearing sunglasses in the grocery store, which is just a total douchebag to do. But
that is kind of a dickhead thing to do.
I can't, they're prescription, so I can't read the, you know, I had my sunglasses on and I was going in. I can't read the signs above the aisles without my glasses because I'm a fucking old man, basically. But so that's why I was wearing my sunglasses. So I figured that's probably why they're, you know, they're thinking, oh, this douchebag, look at him thinking he's cool wearing his sunglasses in the grocery store. So that was probably the reason. But it got me to thinking about the beard, because initially I thought, you know, I wonder if they think I look like a terrorist with the beard. So
I mean, you have a terrorist-y look.
I do, kind of. And I kind of put out that vibe, you know.
Hold on. Did you just say you put out a terrorist-y kind of vibe?
I kind of put out a, you know, domestic terrorist kind of vibe. I've been on watch lists before, so, you know, maybe I do. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm probably setting myself up to get red flagged here, but we'll talk about that later. But anyway, it occurred to me. Here's what I want to do. I thought, well, you know, maybe I should be Osama bin Laden for Halloween. Which would be fun.
Would be fun.
But then I said,
I mean, do you have the right toga for it?
Well, that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to actually, you know, go onto Amazon and order the right headdress. Another thing that's going to get me red flagged.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to get you red flagged.
I will actually end up doing that on the dark web.
Hold on. Now you're going to access the dark web to buy materials,
yeah,
in order to get shipped to you so that you're not on government radars.
Well, I'm a professional hacker. I know how to do that.
Okay,
so.
No. I'm hearing you, but it just seems like this is what I'm going to start hearing in the lawsuit. This is the case that's getting built
up. I'm literally
built
making the federal case for it. But here's my intent.
Your Honor, if you go back to episode 007, he plainly stated what he was going to do.
So I'm going to get the Arab headdress and like that Saudi Arabian like long nightshirt that they wear.
Yeah.
Button down the front. I'm going to get one of those.
Then you got to get a green jacket.
I'm thinking about getting the camouflage jacket that, you know, he always wore in the videos. Then I'm going to like all the Tea Party events and I'm just going to sit in the back and see what happens. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. God, I really hope you do
I'm
that.
Going
can
to,
we make that a goal?
I'm going to Freedom Works.
Oh, can we make that a goal?
Yeah.
Is that a goal? Like, if we have so many people coming in, like, okay, hold on. If we get to 60 members.
Right.
If we get to, like, will you do it for as low as 60 members? Will you do this once a year, annually? We'll have to do an annual Adrian Bin Laden. We'll call it Adrian Bin Laden. So it's, will you annually
do an
Adrian Bin Laden lookalike?
No. It's we're going to go with Adrian Bin Wiley.
Adrian Bin Wiley.
Yeah. Adrian Bin Wiley. Right. That's going to be my moniker. What'd you say? 60 subscribers?
Yeah, 60.
I don't know. 60. What would that net us in cash?
You know, on average?
Yeah.
Like on okay, if you win it, like, okay, so you get it, it's, if we averaged it at $3 per.
Okay.
I mean, so, it's not much.
Right, it's not much. That's $300 a month. I'll do it for 100 subscribers.
Okay, well, we already have one at 100.
Oh, well, then I'll do it for...
Hold on, I'll change this. I'll change this one from 100. I'll change
you know
this
what?
One.
No, yeah, I'll do it for 60 because it sounds like fun anyway. So, but okay. We got to find the events that I can go
just
to.
One, no, once a year. One event a year.
One event a year.
The Adrian McWiley. No, not Adrian McWiley. Hold on. Adrian Ben Wiley. The Adrian Ben Wiley will show up.
You know, I think we should probably
and
do.
Your name will be the Adrian Ben Wiley.
Maybe we should do an AFP event in honor of David Cope.
I don't want to do. I wouldn't want to do all that. No, definitely God rest his soul. But I wouldn't want to do that makeup for
kind
him.
Kind of my memorial to.
Well, not to him though. I mean, yeah. Look, I will say this: I've developed much more greater respect for what they do.
You know, the thing about the and if you hadn't heard, David Koch died a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, he's one of those people that's been vilified and praised and glorified by all kinds of different groups and. The reality of it, from what I know of the guy and my attempts at interactions with him over the years, he was a little bit of both. You know, a little bit of both. Did some good and also did a lot of stuff that was just pure self-interest and not in the good of the public.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't, here's the thing. I think that for what he wanted to do on his end for the self-interest stuff, I don't think it was that bad. I don't think any of it was really that bad.
Yeah.
And the good stuff, he did a lot of, he spent a whole lot of money that he got on good stuff.
Well, listen, folks, that is true. Did a lot of philanthropic stuff.
A lot.
Yeah. But by the same token, the reason that you can't have a choice about who your electric company is David Koch's fault.
You know what? Look, when it comes to monopoly laws and things like that, it was going to go. Here's the thing. I wouldn't blame him for that, but I wouldn't praise him because it wasn't going away.
He protected his business interests, and his business interests required that there was a state monopoly on electricity. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
No, I definitely
agree
with that.
He did not work in your interests on that. Overall, was he a saint? Was he a demon? Nah, he was kind of in between. Yeah,
and he set up a whole lot of free market groups that will eventually probably get rid of those laws.
I don't know because, like AFP is one of them. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Every time it came to an energy issue, he was big government all the way.
Well, they would go after, they would go after the solar stuff for sure.
Oh, and lie about it. Yeah.
Yeah. They would. But the thing is that they were arguing against the handouts on it, and you couldn't argue in favor of the handouts on it. Nowhere to be found when it came to the handouts for oil.
Right, right. Yeah.
And to allow the monopoly to continue, like when you needed them to be on your side there, it wasn't nearly the same thing. But look, either way, I think that I disagree with him on that one for sure. But, you know, with the philanthropic work and like all the groups and organizations that I know are around because of his, you know, what he's doing, like there's a lot of good groups around too.
Yeah, and some that kind of suck.
You know what? Here's the thing. When it comes to AFP, I will tell you, I've had I used to view them as like being part of the GOP.
Right.
I come to find out later on, though, that that's not really the case.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Keep telling yourself that part of the GOP.
It's not the same. Here's the thing. It's not the same way as being a part of it as you think it is.
Oh, no. I believe you. No. Sure. Yeah, you got nothing, do you?
No. I'm not wrong. No, I'm not backing off of what I'm saying right now. I think what I am saying though is that, like, I don't know. I wish I could explain it better.
Well, I would.
Like,
actually,
it's not nearly as bad as you think it is.
Now that I've,
I think you wish it was worse.
From what I've seen, I may, and maybe we've seen things from different perspectives. The members of AFP, in my opinion, are just a bunch of useful idiots. That's what I've seen. That's been my experience with them.
Okay. I know what you're saying.
They're tools being used by billionaires to retain their business interests. That's what I've seen.
Yeah. You know what? I've, man, I just don't.
You're having a hard time.
No, not at all. The stuff I saw them do on, I mean, back in the day, I totally understand where you're coming from on this. I really, really do.
Well, I'm talking all the way up to 2016 was the last time I was paying attention. You know, I mean, maybe in the past 2 years or 3 years, it's been different, but you know, I haven't had really any interaction with him since then.
Well, the thing is it has been different. But one of the reasons is because Trump's
You're a Republican
there.
Now?
No, because Trump's up there.
Oh, okay.
Like, they don't get along with Trump.
Oh, that's surprising.
Like, you remember that meatpacking plant that they raided, by the way? That the feds raided?
No.
Okay, so there was a story that happened a little while back about a meatpacking plant in Alabama that was raided by the feds because of all the people that were supposed to be illegal that were there.
Okay.
And they arrested like 600 people.
Right.
They ended up letting 300 of them go because they were actually legal.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That meatpacking plant was owned by the Kochs.
Really?
Yeah. So I just, like, he's been, like, they were going to support Democrats in the 18 cycle. Like, they may still support Democrats in the 18 cycle.
Really? Well, that's not really any better, in my opinion.
Well, no. It's not any better, but they're basing it off of certain specific issues, criminal justice reform being one of them, though.
And no, they're basing it off the fact that the Kochs are pissed off at Trump because he raided their factory. See what I'm saying?
Well, no. This was going on way before that, though.
Still, they're
this was years in the
middle. They're useful idiots doing the bidding of billionaires. Now just one billionaire.
Well, one instead of two, but.
Yeah.
So, no. You know what? God rest his soul. I want to look at the good instead of the bad. I'm trying to make sure I'm looking at the
good.
Actually,
I don't know how we got to that because
wasn't even the show notes. It
wasn't on our agenda. But
how do we even get there?
I don't know. This is just.
It was about the beard, though.
It's a free flow of consciousness. Well, the point is if we get to 60 subscribers on Patreon, patreon.com/unattendedbaggage, go there, give us some money. And if we get enough subscribers to that, I will actually get on the Arab headdress and start going to. And now it's got to be an AFP event.
No, it doesn't have to be an AFP.
It's going.
We're just
going to
pick one event a year. No,
it's
we're
going to
pick one event a year, no. And that's what we're
going
to do.
After this discussion, it's going to be an AFP.
No,
event.
It's not.
I decide.
Why do you get to decide?
I have the beard.
I think that they get to decide.
No, I have the beard.
I think we put up a poll and put AFP in there, and you got to fight for AFP to win like anybody else.
All right, we'll put up a poll if we get to 60 subscribers.
Right. So, but to thank someone that helped us get there this week in the conspicuous duffel bag level is Lee Nair. So, Lee, thank you.
Lee, very much appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You'll also get access to the second hour, which will have some really good stories in the second hour.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff. Actually, we're starting to get a little bit kind of dickish, you know, because we're putting some of the really good stuff in the second hour. So we want you to pay for that. So
it's $5, though. Come on. I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like, we're not being that much of a dicks. I mean, you know.
Buy us a cup of coffee, will you?
Yeah, that's it. A cup of coffee. It's not much.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a month.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so what are we going to go into first?
I don't know. You got the show notes. I don't have them.
Well, I think that what we can start off with is something that you put out this week that I thought was very interesting. And that is, you talked about the Amazon thing being basically bullshit.
Yeah.
And I want you to explain why. Because when I saw this story, I was a little concerned as well.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie to you. I was concerned.
Oh, yeah. Well, they come out like, oh, my God, the Amazon rainforest. They're burning. We're going to lose the entire rainforest. Well, you know, of course, like I tend to do, I say, that doesn't sound right to me. I mean, because I happen to know that the Amazon rainforest is roughly almost as big as the contiguous United States. It's a huge landmass, and for that to burn, if it was really threatening the entire rainforest, you would look up in the sky and you would not see the sun because the entire planet would be, you know, engulfed in smoke.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, well, what's going on there, really? So I started looking into it. Well, it turns out from January to August of this year, there have been 70,000 fires in the Amazon rainforest.
Seems a little crazy.
That seems crazy. Until you look at the average annual number of fires in the Amazon rainforest, or that geographic area, same geographic area, from January to August is 50,000.
So it's only 20,000 more.
Right. And you may be thinking, well, that seems like a lot more than the average.
I mean, it does seem like a lot more than the average.
When was the last time that there was as many as 70,000 forest fires between January and August?
I don't know.
2016. And in 2016, Nobody was freaking out about it. But in today's world of social media, if enough people share a meme, it becomes a political crisis. This is absolutely not an existential crisis. And in fact, the majority of the fires aren't even rainforests. It's farmland. Because every year, and throughout most of the world, actually, every year, a lot of farmers burn their crops because after the crop yield is harvested, they burn the remaining plants. It re-nourishes the soil so they can replant either the next season or the following season, maybe give the land a season to rest. But it's a common practice. So the majority of the fires are agricultural prescribed burns that are happening anyway. Some of it is forest fires. Some of it is probably, you know, set by man. Others, is from lightning strikes, you know, just natural wildfires. But the bottom line is the real story about the Amazon is that it's a slightly more active wildfire season than most years. Now, also, the other part of the story that this leads into is it's the lungs of the world. Well, yes, partially that's correct. But the majority of the oxygen in our atmosphere comes from the oceans. That's where most of it is generated. But the Amazonian basin does actually, you know, put a fair amount of oxygen into the air. A minuscule amount of that land is burning. And actually, the amount of deforestation happening in the rainforest is dramatically lower than it was in the 20th century because of conservation efforts that were put into place in the early 2000s. You know, there's very little relatively land being clear cut these days. And in fact, I don't know if you know this, folks, the reason the forest exists to begin with is because it's kind of a natural thing. If you leave it alone, it'll grow back. It'll spread. So the Amazon is actually regrowing. When things get cut down and left alone or burn and left alone, they grow back. So basically just know that this is a manufactured crisis. And anytime there's a manufactured crisis, there's an agenda behind it. Someone is either benefiting politically or economically, or in some cases, both. Now, I'm not sure who benefits from this. You know, maybe it's the global warming gang that wants to tax you every time you exhale. Maybe it's PETA, who knows? Maybe they're the ones who are behind this viral effort because they want, you know, to kill cows. They hate cows for some reason. Oh, by the way, cows have absolutely nothing to do with this. You know, I don't know many cows that smoke. So it's not like they're throwing their cigarette butts down, starting fires.
Smoking cows. You're not into that, huh?
Well, yeah, somehow they're making the connection that cows are responsible for this, and they're just not.
Yeah. You
know, grazing land, there's plenty of grazing land out there. They're not clear-cutting a whole lot of forest for grazing lands. They do clear-cut occasionally for agricultural land, and they may graze it until it's ready to be planted. But yeah, that's really not happening. So cows are not to blame, folks. But it's just another example of the headline soundbite mentality. You know, the media and the people who start these social media campaigns for various reasons to benefit themselves or their organization, they know that you have a soundbite mentality. They know that if you see a picture of a fire and a scary headline, that's going to be it. That's going to be the story in your mind, unless you take the time to look deeper. And that's one thing that, you know, we do Adrian's life lessons. You should always take the time to look deeper. And always on anything you hear or anything you see or anything you read, always ask yourself, who benefits? Cui bono? It's a concept that if you do, you'll find out that most of the things that you think are issues are really just somebody else's way to try to make money.
So you should always take the time to look deeper.
Always take the time to look deeper.
And what was the second one?
Ask yourself who benefits. Who benefits from this? And in a lot of cases, you're going to find out that the person who benefits is the person who is feeding you the bullshit. So that's my little take on life.
I'm going to put that in the notes. That will go up in the notes.
I see you typing on that. That's good, because now we can go ahead and put that in the show notes. But yeah, so they're just another debunking by just 5 minutes of research.
Well, and here and go and cutting through the distraction too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, get, you know, take the emotion out of it for a second, because everybody gets emotional about a lot of these issues. You know, oh my God, the rainforest, they're pretty. You know, there's all kinds of ring-tailed lemurs that live there. I don't want to hurt the ring-tailed lemurs. They're so cute. You know, take the emotion out of it for a second. Take a step back and think about the reality of it. Same thing with plastic straws, man. You know, it's that kind of mentality. So once you really look at what's going on, and the irony is you find out that the forest is doing better than it's done in decades, you know?
Yeah.
We've got more trees on the planet today than we did in 1970.
Yeah.
You know, things are getting better. So anyway, that's the reality of it.
Yeah. Well, look, and there's a lot of things that are out there that are made to be a distraction. And it's not just one, you know, shadowy entity that's making it a distraction. There's a lot of different things out there that make it a distraction.
And we all play into it. We all play along.
And look, people build careers out of paying attention to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I even get suckered into it momentarily every now and again.
Well, no. And it was the one big thing that happened. Like, we got out of doing this podcast at just a certain time when a certain political person was coming into prominence.
Right.
That we were.
We stopped doing the radio show.
We stopped doing the radio show. Yeah. We stopped doing the radio show. Right around the time frame of Donald Trump.
Right.
So until now we're in episode 7, we haven't gone through all of that publicly on the air.
That was the gap between Liberty Underground and Unattended Baggage.
Yes. Yeah. That was, Trump is the gap.
Yeah.
Like everything that gone on that time frame. And this freaking guy has an ability of staying on the air 24/7, 365, it's a combo deal between the media and him to constantly be doing two things at the same time. It's in some ways, and I don't even understand why he does it, he is almost distracting everybody else from something. Like, even when he's doing good policy in a week, he will do dumb stuff in order to distract you from, you know, good regulatory things and stuff like that.
So wait a second. You're actually giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's doing it intentionally.
Oh, okay. Hold on. In his own sick, twisted mind, I think he has a plan, even though the plan a lot of times is what a rooster would have when you're playing him in chess, is that you would jump on the board, break it all apart, crap on it, and then walk around with a strut saying that I won. I mean, look, that's the rooster still had a plan.
Oh, God, that's glorious.
I mean, that's what's going on. Like, here's the thing. Just, again, I don't attribute racism to the guy, to be honest with you, because I just think he's an a-hole. Like, he just acts like an a-hole. Like, but you can do it. Like, honestly, he does it all the time. He won an election for president by doing it.
Yeah.
Part of it is he's highlighting how absurd the entire system is right now. Like, he's done this. But the problem is that he continues to do like really dumb stuff, and he kind of he has no filter whatsoever, like none.
Well, yeah. Well, it's the most bizarre thing, because he can say one thing with incredible conviction and then the next day say the opposite thing with the same exact conviction.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
It's a skill.
It's bizarre. The insanity of it is just so crazy. It's like the red flag laws. You know, he, from day to day, he will go back and forth on that.
Yeah.
You know, amazing to me. Amazing to me. But he provides us so much content.
He could. You could talk about him all day.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we do one of these shows, you could talk about him.
Yeah, I know. And actually, we're a little... You know, we're having a problem here because we don't want to do that.
However, we recognize that you have to.
You just have to.
So we're going to make it so it's only 15 minutes a show.
Yeah, hopefully if that. I mean, because, yeah, I don't want to spend that much time on it. You know, it's just the insanity is just too much.
But like this week, though, like you're going to have to. Again, first we had to explain where we're at on this. But the whole buying Denmark thing. Like, are you, what in the whole, and he's like, well, Truman tried to do it 50 years ago or what? Like, are you, what? What? Oh God, we're $21 or $22 trillion in debt right now. Right. We're $1 trillion in debt this year.
Right.
And you want to go out and buy Denmark?
Right.
What on earth is that even remotely possible to any kind of sanity? And then to have people defend it. Like, and he doubled right. down on it. Like, it's Greenland. What the fuck? Come on, guy. Why would you? Why? What? And then hold on. When the Danish prime minister is like, no, we're not going to do that.
The Danish prime minister is like, no.
Oh, cancel that trip. Wait a
second. It would be like China coming to us and say, hey, we'd like to buy Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It doesn't work like that. I mean, maybe it did at the time of the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, when the Indians own the land.
Right. Well, or even when, like, Britain leased Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You know, but the world just doesn't work that way anymore.
I mean, but here's the thing. So Denmark says no, but doesn't say it like the nicest way possible. So he cancels the trip to Denmark. Like, I don't even care that you canceled a trip to Denmark, but like, are you that freaking petty that you're going to cancel the trip to Denmark because you tried to buy something of theirs and they said no, and they said that's ludicrous?
It's not.
Because it's ludicrous.
It's not Denmark's to sell. I mean, yes, technically Greenland is a Danish territory, but the people of Greenland are a self-governing. That it's like my point about Puerto Rico. We can't just sell Puerto Rico.
Yeah, no, that's the other point.
It's up to the people of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, no, that's, you're right. That's another point of it. Like, but why would you, like, and again, that's just completely insane. Why would you want to do this?
Right.
And why would you, like, why do you want to cause an international incident with Denmark
yeah.
because they won't come off of Greenland for you quick enough?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Seriously, it feels like 1802.
It feels like a weird episode of South Park.
Right.
Like, it's just like, what the hell is it? And again, so you look at that and you're just like, oh, gosh, what? Like, this is so dumb. Why are you getting in the middle of an argument? And this ain't no 4D chess with Denmark.
Right.
Like, there's nothing going on with Denmark.
Now he's, like, really mad at Denmark. Now we've got, like, an international crisis with Denmark, a NATO member, a close ally, you know, that because they wouldn't sell Trump Greenland. You know, here's what I think. I think that Trump right now, I think, is in a very strange mode because he sees the writing on the wall with the economy, and he knows one thing: economies win elections. And he's very concerned about that right now. And he's made several statements that is clear. So what happens when he thinks, what's his default going to be to go to? What has he done all his life? When the chips are down, real estate deal. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's what he's thinking.
But this is crazy, though.
Right.
Like, I understand, and I appreciate, let me just say this, I appreciate the ability that you're having right now to attempt to rationalize this.
I try.
I know that you are really trying to rationalize this, but this is completely, it wasn't going to work, man. And if he thought it was going to work, then he is in friggin' sane.
Well,
it has to be a distraction.
Also this week, of course, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, whom he appointed, he asked the Fed to cut prime lending rate by 100 basis points, 1%, which, you know, that's the kind of thing you do to, and again, I'm in favor of completely abolishing the Federal Reserve and going
given the system we're in right now.
Given the system we're in right now. But that is the kind of thing you would do, like, if we were in a Great Depression. You know, that's like literally hitting the panic button, and just if the Fed were to do that, probably it would cause a depression because people would panic because they would see the Fed as panicking. But Trump wanted him to do that because in his mind, that would actually stimulate the economy because it would, you know, allow for more debt to be created, more, you know, blah, 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 blah. And of course, the Fed, the chairman of the Fed said, well, no. And so Trump, of course, tweets now. His appointed Federal Reserve chairman calls him the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Compares him to President Z. You know, it's just the most bizarre thing.
Yeah, because he won't currency manipulate. He's mad at him because China's currency manipulate.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And then in the same tweet, or in the same day, I believe, not necessarily the same tweet, he talks about how strong the dollar is.
Yeah, talks out of both sides of his mouth. And right. That's what he does.
Yeah. While accusing China of manipulating their currency.
Yeah. Like, we manipulate our currency, by the way.
Right.
Like, it's the thing is this, like, it's whoever doesn't manipulate their currency that's going to do the better.
Right.
At the end of the day, like the long-term goal is that whoever doesn't manipulate it more is going to have a stronger currency.
Right. Right.
We should stop doing it.
Well, the other side of the equation is one of the benefits of having a strong currency is that the things you import are essentially cheaper.
Yeah.
So he's putting tariffs on imports.
Yeah, and now they're putting tariffs on our stuff.
Well, the other side of the equation is your exports are more expensive when the dollar is strong to the countries that you're exporting stuff to. Mm-hmm. So they're going to buy less of your stuff. You're going to buy more of their stuff. He's putting tariffs on the other countries, so the stuff that we're buying is going to be more expensive. And then by the same token, they're putting tariffs on us. So now the stuff that they're buying is going to be more expensive, but even more so because the dollar is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like tariffs are the worst thing you want to do when you have a strong dollar in that situation.
Yeah.
But then, to make matters worse, he follows it up by ordering U.S. companies. And that's the his exact words was, I hereby order U.S. companies to make plans to stop doing business with China.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You're in a position where you shouldn't even joke about stuff like that.
No, that's not a joke. That's fascism.
Yeah.
Like, for everyone calling Trump a fascist, and I thought that was a little over the top, that is literally fascism.
Yeah.
That is what Benito Mussolini, how he controlled the companies.
Mm-hmm.
He would give them, I hereby order you to do this, and they would do this, because that was the system of government that they worked under in fascism.
Yeah.
Now, the one piece of good news in this is that the media finally said something that I don't think they've said for 150 years, and that is, Mr. President, you don't have the authority to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been a long time coming. It's just astounding to me. I don't think they ever said it, you know, during Obama's executive orders, or, you know, they might have said it once or twice when Bush invaded countries, but then they were all on the bandwagon. Once they got footage of shock and awe that, you know, increased ratings, they were totally fine with it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the president does not have the authority to tell companies not to do business with China.
Yeah, he can't. And he shouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I understand that you can't, but you shouldn't. Like, you shouldn't, as president of the United States, you have a fiduciary responsibility to not do what you just did.
Well, I think the shouldn't is far less important than can't.
Well, no, that's true, too.
He doesn't understand the limits of his power. He believes there are no limits on his power.
Well,
he believes he is omnipotent. And that kind of goes into the next phase of it, where he was talking about the China, trade wars and everything, and said, well, it needed to be done. And then he, honest to God, this is on video, he looks up at the sky, raises his arms slightly, and says, I am the chosen one.
Yeah, I guess I'm the chosen one.
He emphasized it a little bit more than that. You know, it was a weird thing, because he didn't just say it. He looked up at the heavens.
he turned. Well, I watched the video.
Raised his arms slightly, and
guess I'm the chosen one.
He didn't say, I guess. He said,
hold on, we have to go. We have to find that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to find that then. So,
okay.
Like, we got to find that clip exactly, because I want to make sure, because I thought that's what he said, was that I'm the chosen. I guess I'm the chosen one. But hold on, we'll get to the clip. We're going to get to the clip.
I don't think he said, I guess.
Okay, fair enough.
Silver dollar on that?
I'm not willing to go silver dollar.
Okay, all right.
But here's the thing. We're going to get to the answer on this one quick.
All right. Either way, he said it in such a way that, and he does, he's a master at this. He said it in such a way where I believed that at least part of him believes it, but also part of him understood how it would be taken, and that he did it in such a way where he could play it off as a joke if he needed to. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I hear what you're saying.
It's kind of that test the water, because I think and again, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I think in his mind, he knew that his followers were going to take that as gospel, because some of them believe that he is the chosen one. I've literally seen memes that weren't being ironic from people I know who placed him like on a cloud with his arm raised with sun rays behind him as if he were God.
I can't get to the video on this one. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
And
like, I keep getting to ones where it's like a whole bunch of clips though. And it's not like,
yeah, don't try it. It's actually, it was a little hard to find. I did grab it. Oh, if you go to my Facebook page,
hold on here.
It's on there.
Is it just the raw clip of it?
Yeah, it's just the raw clip of it. But that's not the only thing he did this week. He retweeted.
Hold on, I'm ready to go if you want me to
play.
Okay,
go ahead and play it. Retained a mostly positive
attitude. Do you want a drink or anything, dude?
No, thank
you. Hold on, there's a lot of other things planned. Yeah, I had this muted. Hold on, I had this thing muted. So hold on here. So let me mute it. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Sorry about that.
Every time you try to play a
hey, look,
clip
man,
I'm not
the engineer, man. I'm working on it.
Again, I don't know why you have control of the media computer when I am literally the IT guy.
Here's the thing. Do you want to switch spots then?
Well, no, that's your spot, man.
Well, this is my spot. Here's the thing. That's the problem. Then we got to fix that. Okay. Here's the thing.
Right.
Hold on. I'm here.
Are you
going to
play the clip?
Yeah, I'm going to play the clip. I'm going to play the clip. So let's see here. This is 3:43 long. Let's see where we're at here.
$500 billion ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft, add that to it and add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me,
it's right
somebody
here. It's
had
close.
To do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning because we're the piggy bank. We're the one.
All right, you can kill it. That was it.
Including the European Union.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't say, I guess.
No.
He turned, looked up, raised his arms and said, I am the chosen
one. Away from the cameras.
Yeah. Like he was at that point, he was talking to God.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I give him a little bit of a pass on this one. And the only reason I give him a little bit of the pass on this one is that the point he's trying to make, which I don't even agree with the point, by the way. But I think the point he's trying to make is he's looking at that we had to eventually have this trade war with China. And so the other ones should have done it before he got there. But now he's the chosen one to have that trade war with China.
If this was an isolated thing this week, I might have given him the benefit of the doubt on that. But this is also the same week that he retweeted and thanked Wayne Allen Root.
Oh, gosh.
Our buddy Wayne Allen Root. We got to love him.
Oh, my gosh.
We know.
Come on, Root.
We know Root. Neither of us like him. That's a story for another day. Actually, that's probably something to put into story time, too, by the way.
Oh, the war stories, huh?
Yeah, the war stories. W-A-R, Wayne Allen Root.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let me work on that.
So Wayne Allen Root tweeted that Trump was, quote, the king of Israel, end quote, the second coming of God. Okay. Trump. Now, look, if you're a religious person, which it's funny that so many of the people that are like supporting this are religious people. Now, I am a born again Christian. I don't evangelize a lot, but I like to let people know that I am so they know where I'm coming from. If someone were to call me the second coming of God and the king of Israel, I would correct them. I would say, no. What you're saying is wrong. That's not correct. But Trump went ahead and retweeted those comments about him and then thanked Wayne Allen Root
for the very nice words.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're actually a Christian, you should kind of follow that. The first thing that God said to Moses from the burning bush was, don't think you're God, essentially. Don't have any other gods before me. So here's Trump literally violating the first commandment by doing that. And the evangelicals are like, that is the greatest thing I've ever heard. I don't get it. You know, I know very Orthodox people that are just like all over this. So, but there is two examples within a single week of Trump either referring to himself as a god of sorts, or praising others who have called him God. That is a pathology. That is a megalomania to a level that, you know, is just hard to fathom.
You know, not to steal something from Ben Shapiro here, but Donald Trump sure loves him some Donald Trump.
Yeah, he does. But, and then the question has to be, is how much of that is just trolling the media, trolling the left, which is what a lot of people want to say, and how much of it is his core beliefs? And I think a good portion of it, he may not really believe that he is the second coming of God, but there's a part of him that does. There's something in there that, you know, believes that. It's a strange thing. There's just too much evidence at this point to completely, you know, discredit it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this. I mean, he loves him some Donald Trump, man. He really, 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 really does. Like, he really has a very high opinion on himself. Now, if you talk to some people that have met this guy, that they just have the most glowing things to say about him. But I have talked to some people that think he is just the biggest egotistical a-hole that there is on the planet. And so I think it depends on which Trump you meet as to which one you're going to get. But none of them should be president of the United States.
I don't think it's which one you meet, because I think he's totally consistent. You know, I think it's how you perceive people like that.
Okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got you.
Here's the thing. There are people in this world that look at Joel Osteen, for example, and go, he's an amazing person. He is the most wonderful people on earth. And then there's other people that look at Joel Osteen and go, you dumb motherfuckers. You know, he is using you
and to get rich.
Along the way, he's really fucking up religion. You know, he's totally fucking up what, you know, Christ was trying to put across. So there's that disconnect. And then there's of course, the people who aren't religious at all are going, all you people are fucked up.
It's all crazy.
But see, I think it's more of your personality as an individual as to how you perceive Trump.
Yeah.
Because I learned another thing is that Trump supporters have a very hard time with satire. And I really think there's a brain chemistry going on.
Well, hold on. Let me just one thing real quick before we get to the brain chemistry. Let's tag brain chemistry. Brain chemistry going on in Trump supporters' heads. I think that if you are emotionally involved in Trump, either way, whether it's too much that you hate him or too much that you like him, once you get that emotionally involved, you lose your mind. Like, this guy's almost like he almost puts like the world in like ex-girlfriend. He puts like half the world in ex-girlfriend mode or something. Like I don't, I'm probably not even saying the word right here, but like, he makes people crazy.
I understand what you're getting.
Both ways, though, but both ways.
But is it that he makes people crazy, or that
the crazies triggered in their
head?
The
crazies are triggered by him. And
you know what? It could be
in both the crazy hatred
good and the
for
crazy
him
good
and the crazy messiah complex for him.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing about Trump too, is that before he ran for president, he was loved by the black community, and now he's racist.
Is that the case? I mean, I hear that, but I don't know that.
NAACP, like, Man of the Year. Everybody wanted to be Trump. Like, rap was all about Trump. Like, it was.
That's just red, blue.
He was embraced by, like Al Sharpton, and like all these guys embraced him back in the day.
That's red, blue politics, though. That's a whole different dynamic.
But he wasn't a racist,
than
though.
The insanity of it.
Yeah, but he wasn't racist. Look, if he was a racist, then they wouldn't have done things with him.
From the perspective of a leftist, if you're not a leftist, you're a racist. And even if you are a leftist, if you're not following the proper doctrine, you're
like
a racist.
This guy's
Everybody's
next,
a racist.
But this guy's the next coming of the Klan. Like, this guy's responsible for white supremacy around the country, which he's not.
Well, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
On the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Hold on, go back. You said that
from
there's
the
something there.
Well, yeah, I just think that because I've noticed that.
We already spent too much time on it.
I know. You know what? I'm not even.
No. Finish. We got to finish this thought. This thought needs to be finished.
I have found that Trump supporters specifically have a very hard time with the concept of satire. And it's not just about Trump. It's if they are a Trump supporter, they generally don't get satire. They just don't get it.
You got
an
example?
They don't see it as satire. Well, probably the most prime example is the stuff I post is, you know, I do tons of satire. Pretty much everything I say is satirical.
Yeah.
But also, they will post blatantly obvious satire as fact, as news. it's the strangest thing. It's the whole they call actual factual stuff fake news, but they can't understand when something is blatant satire. And when you try to explain it to them, they don't get it. They don't get why it's satire. And again, I haven't really explored this enough to understand it. I'm not a psychiatrist. I just play one on the interwebs. Yeah.
On the dark web.
On the dark web.
As you're picking up your Osama bin Laden outfit.
Yeah. 60 subscribers, folks, and I will do that.
I got to tell you, we got to get there.
You have my word. I will do that if we get to 60
subscribers. I might sign up myself at the 8 times.
You got to put that on our goal
yeah,
list.
I'm gonna forget it.
And yeah.
I got to do that. I got to do that for the book, too.
What did we say for the book?
I don't know yet. We didn't put that out one out. We put that one out there.
Me to write another book?
Yeah,
sequel?
Yeah, yeah. How much money do we have to have coming in before you write that?
That's 1,000 subscribers or something. That's way out there crazy because
I wouldn't call 1,000 that way out there crazy. It's just a goal to get to.
All right, then 10,000.
Well, hold on.
All right. No,
we'll figure that out later.
We'll figure that out later, but that's me having to do thousands of hours of work.
I know.
That takes a lot.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. Everything's a number. So I just want a number so I can put it up there.
So basically you're saying we're just whores, huh?
I mean, not total whores, but you know, I mean, it's
it's a
little whorish.
It's like you pay us enough, man. Here's the price for the Hummer. Here's the price for the Handy.
Well,
and
look,
if you
right
want
now,
me around the world,
well,
this
hold
is
on.
What it takes.
Look, we put our price list already up there on,
you know, come to think
on
of it,
Patreon.com.
And the price list
is on Patreon.
But by putting the second hour behind the paywall, we're kind of doing the porn site thing anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a little bit of the Handy. Here's a little bit of the Hummer. You want the money
well,
shot, you got to pay.
Look, I would say this. We're giving solid strokes during the first hour.
That's true. Yeah.
So not that people wanted to hear that, but at any rate, because it's just not the right way to say it, but. Look, the thing about it is this, though. Oh, crap. So I got to make sure I put my phone on.
God,
right here.
You know, there was a time when you were actually a radio professional. I remember those days.
Yeah. You know what? I'm sorry, dude. It's just, you know, it's one of those fights. But then that kind of week, man. What are you going to do? So make sure it's on mute, though, because we do have to go to story time.
Because
we're already way late on it.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of time left for story time. How much
time
we got
for it? Well,
here's the
thing. For the first hour this week, I think we're going to go a little over.
We're going to go a little long. Bonus.
We're going to go a little bonus in the first hour.
Yep.
Just because we have to get this story out, you know, because you got to complete the story. And don't get me wrong, the story's not going to take that long.
Okay, well, let's tell the story. It's a great story.
Hold on, let me get there first. I got to make sure everything's turned off on the computer.
Get your shit together, for Christ's sake. Seriously.
Here we go.
Tell me a story. Remember what you said.
Hey!
You promised me, you said you would. You got to give in, so I'll be good.
Here's a tale you'll never forget.
Ouch, my tail's all red.
And now get up to bed.
Come on, Daddy, tell me a story.
I do love that intro. When I found that, it was like, oh, yeah,
that
this is
a
gold.
Good time, though. That is a good time, though. All right, so this story is going to be about the Florida Press Association. And this will be the first Florida Press Association story, by the way. It won't be the last Florida Press Association story.
Oh, no, there's more. There's more.
So let's get into what was going on. So I was running for office at the time.
The year is, I think it was 2009. It's 2009 at this point? Okay, so it was probably late 2009. Might have been 2010.
Hang on here. It wasn't June of 2010, was it? Maybe it was June of 2010.
That's possible.
Oh, 17 June of 2010. Yep.
Okay.
17 June of 2010.
Oh, yeah, because it would have been right before the primaries.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right, so 17 June of 2010.
That makes sense.
Boy, we were running for a while at that point then.
Yeah, we'd been going it a long time.
Yeah. Getting nowhere in the media.
Okay,
so
it's June of 2010. Alex is running for U.S. Senate as the Libertarian candidate. Mm-hmm. I am his media coordinator, but really de facto campaign manager at that point.
Definitely de facto. Not in title, because we did mix up some people that had that role, but
right.
You were the one that was doing most of the stuff.
Yeah. So, and the Florida Press Association is having a candidate forum for all the Senate candidates.
In Sarasota, Florida.
In Sarasota. Right.
At a really nice, like resort.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the place, but...
It was really nice, dude. You remember being there, though.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I remember. Yeah. I remember this.
It was like a Hilton or something
that.
It was a big
place. Yeah.
With a huge conference area.
Right.
And they were doing this thing in the conference area. Now, the room itself wasn't... How many people could fit in that room? Maybe 200 people could fit in that room. No, maybe 300. They had enough chairs for 300.
Was it that big?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe 200.
Yeah, I would say 200 probably.
Maybe 200. Maybe 150.
Okay. And they had a media riser in the back with all the TV cameras and stuff. This was a big event. You know, it was televised and that sort of thing. And all the news outlets were there. So who were the candidates who they invited?
Okay. So they invited Marco Rubio.
Right.
Charlie Crist. Kendrick Meek.
Right.
Jeff Green.
Right. And I think that was it.
Was that it?
It might have been.
I want to think there was one other person.
There might have been one other. But those were the heavy hitters.
Yeah, because, well, two Democrats, two Republicans. Well, and I don't know, was Chris still a Republican at that point? I think he was. Yeah, I think Chris still a Republican at that point. So they were all there to speak, but they didn't invite me.
Right.
Now, we didn't even find out about the events till day of.
Right. Yeah, we got a tip that this was happening.
Yeah. Somebody told us this was going on, and I was in Tampa. I was still working, selling copiers at the time, and I was in Tampa at work, basically.
And I was somewhere at one of my clients, working as well.
Yeah.
And you called me up, and it must have been like 3 hours before this event was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was like we just got word of it.
Yeah, just got word of it. Now, I happen to have an affinity for three-piece suits.
Right.
So I happened to have a three-piece suit on at the time.
Pinstriped three-piece suit. Oh, God.
I'm starting to fit into that again, by the way.
I just wanted to burn that thing.
I know you don't like it either.
You look like such a Guido, man. You look like Fredo.
All right. So we only had a limited amount of time that we found out about this event. But like I said, I was already dressed very, very nicely at the time. So
I think I was in Pasco County or something, and you were in Tampa, and this event was in Sarasota in like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. So I started driving straight down there because I'm like, we're just going to go. We're going to do this.
Right.
And so I get a hold
no,
of
no, 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 no. You asked me, should we do this?
Yeah. Okay. My bad. Because
it was like, are we going to crash it? Because that was the only option. They wouldn't invite. You called. No, you called Dean Ridings first. And said, can I come?
Yeah. And he said, no,
you can't come. And Dean Ridings was the president of the Florida Press Association at the time. So he calls up the press association, say, hey, this is Alex Nicker. You know, and of course, he knew who you were.
Yeah.
You know, we had been very active in this campaign. He knew what was going on.
We've been very guerrilla.
Yeah. And he intentionally did not invite you. So you called
him up. Because I polled better than some of the people they had on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
At that time, I definitely was polling better than Green.
Jeff Green. Yeah, you were polling better than Jeff Green, and they invited Jeff Green.
Yeah.
So
that was our justification for why I should have been there.
Exactly. And it was, it was valid justification.
Yeah.
You call me up, you explain what's going on, and you're like, should we go anyway? I'm like, oh, hell yeah, let's crash this thing.
Yeah.
You know, let's fuck it up. Because I was very guerrilla at that time.
Oh, yeah. We were both being kind of guerrilla.
Well, you were always kind of like...
I wanted to make sure we didn't go crazy.
Yeah. You always were kind of like concerned how it was going to make you be perceived.
Yeah. Once you go too far, you can't go back.
That is true. And I was always like, fuck it. Let's just fuck shit up, you know?
Which was a good way to go about it.
So we both, coming from our separate locations, we haul ass down there and we meet up in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I pulled a Wiley when I got there.
Yes.
So when I get there, I have like paperwork and documentation and stuff like that, like to where almost and the people in the media didn't know who I was, you know, at the time. Not really. So
Set the scene. So they've got this conference room in the hotel, and they've got security there.
They do
got
security.
They've got
there.
Florida Highway Patrolmen covering the entrances and stuff like that. And, you know, because the governor at the time was there.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a secured event. And Charlie Crist was the governor at the time.
Okay.
So anyway, you go up to the front entrance to the hall. You're wearing your suit. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I go up to the front entrance wearing a suit, and I'm noticing that they're blocking the door. But again, they don't know I'm coming. So they don't know I'm coming at all. So I just make it look like I know what I'm doing. I don't talk to anybody. Like, I just walk through, kind of like I put my phone to my head, like I'm making a phone call, and I walk through the door and I sit down.
You faked a phone call.
Yeah, I basically faked a phone call, make it look like I'm doing. I had documents with me. It was almost like the equivalent of having a clipboard.
Okay.
It was the three-piece suit equivalent of having a clipboard.
Had I known it was that easy, I would have done the same thing. But I saw the security, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be difficult to get in. So I go around to the back entrance. And I find, and it's full of media back there. That was where the media was unloading to bring their gear in and everything. So I walk up to the Fox 13 van, and which is the local Fox affiliate here in Tampa Bay. And I walk up to him, and there's a guy there, and he's got his big camera, and he's got his big bag with, I guess, the batteries and every all his equipment in there. And he's got the tripod. Well, I immediately put on the press pass that I had made for myself that I had been using for identification. Well, I hadn't been using it yet, but we had press passes at the time that I made. Mm-hmm. So I clip it on my collar, and I'm like, oh, hey, man, you need a hand with that? He's like, oh, yeah, thanks. So I grab his tripod. And so he's carrying his camera in his big bag. I'm carrying his tripod. And we just both walk in the back entrance. So I'm striking up a conversation with this guy. So as and he's wearing his credentials around his neck, and I'm wearing my credentials around my neck. So and the highway patrolman is there at the back entrance where we are. And so as we go in, I just walk in and I see the highway patrolman. I go, hey, man, what's up? And just walk in with the Fox 13 guy. And we get to the riser and I put down the tripod and walk away and go find a seat in the place.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I got in. I pretended to be media and it worked like a champ.
Yeah. No. And that, yeah, there definitely was two ways to get into the place and both ways were good.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there waiting and I'm like, okay, so I want to interrupt only when I have an opening.
Right.
Like I don't want to do it in the middle of somebody else talking because I think then that is rude.
Right.
You know, and you're walking the line here because you weren't invited to this event yet. You're coming anyway. You know, what can they do to you? That kind of thing. So, you know, we're just trying to buy the right spot. So I do eventually, I think Rubio was coming down off the stage.
I think, didn't Meek just finish? No, Rubio was coming off the stage and Meek was about to go on, right?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. So that happened and then I got to speak. So the next minute 49 is this is live recording from when this happened on June of 2010. All right, so let me go ahead and, let me go ahead and play the clip. It's thank you for WNMF News because they were the only ones that actually put anything out there, by the way, for this.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, I mean, other people did, but
WTSP, what was his name?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Mike Deason.
Mike Deason. Ned yeah, Deason he did a whole story on it. It was great.
So hold on. Let me play this.
You want to talk about the Tea Party candidate? It ain't Marco Rubio. It's Alexander Snitker. I'm the one from the people, not a career politician. Now, I say the media, why don't you let me in?
You're in. We appreciate your time.
Well, I'll come on stage now.
Why not?
Why can't I answer some of their questions like you do in the same opportunity for every candidate? I paid $10,444 to make sure my name was on the ballot. I get more web hits than all the rest of them. The people want to hear from me, and yet the advancement, the cause of responsible journalism is not in allowing me an opportunity to speak.
Really?
I've been speaking for the last 5 minutes.
I understand, sir, but I'm asking at this point to be able to get on stage to answer some of these people's questions. Hey, I might fall flat on my face. What do you know? Are you going to allow me the opportunity or not?
No.
No. Let the man speak.
No, there's Adrian.
It's unbelievable. You're not going to let me speak. Neither did Green. No, neither did Green, though. You're saying something that's not true. He met a Quinn and Jack Paul. And was inviting you on that map. Unbelievable.
Don't touch me.
The freedom of speech for a person that served 8 years to defend your right to do it when none of those other candidates actually want to fix anything in the government at all. They don't want to fix anything. They want to keep businesses going. Marco Rubio can talk about flat tax, fair tax, whatever. Unless you get rid of taxes altogether and go to consumption, it's not going to fix anything. But when it comes to foreign policy, unless we have a realistic discussion about foreign policy and start bringing our troops home down out and go back to what the founders envisioned, this country, which was a non-interventionist foreign policy, and not troops all over the world.
I can't believe they stopped it there, by the way.
I think his battery ran out is what it was. But I love how you can hear in the background all the cameras going.
Yeah, that was clicking,
and all
clicking,
the clicking,
clicking
everybody
clicking, clicking.
Trying to keep up typing with what you were saying. Yeah. That story went national. The Associated Press picked that up. You forgot how much press that actually got.
Yeah, it did get a lot of press. No, it did get a lot of press. Again, it was one of those things where it just happened. Like, it was like, okay, we got to go to this. And then we had to make a decision. You had to make a decision whether to do it or not do it right then and there on the spot.
It was a go, no go.
Yeah, it was a go, no go. And
it was all improvised. We had no idea what was going to happen. We didn't plan it. It was just like this, you know, we got to be there. We got to do something. We can't let them shut you out.
Yeah. You know? No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, it was a... That got us that part right there did get us the most media attention during the campaign.
It did. It did.
Everything else around that, and again, but you only get one pull of the trigger on something like that, though.
Yeah.
You really can't do it over and over. We had a second opportunity.
And you didn't
and
pull
I didn't
the trigger.
Want to do, no,
I'm still
I didn't
mad
want to
at
do
you
it.
Over that.
And
but
you know
we'll
what?
Tell that story another time.
That'll be another time.
That's another time.
So the point to make here, though, you know, you want to get to the point of this one, though. The point of this one, I think, could be best described as you're going to be given a couple moments of opportunity, and you have to be of the right state of mind and prepared enough to take advantage of those pieces of opportunity when they come up.
Right.
I guess that's the best. That'd be the best thing that you could say about, you know what? Here's the thing. The other part is I think there was another one of this out there. I wish I had the other clip because they brought that one guy next to me and I'm like, don't touch me. But then they brought a really big guy after that, though.
You went
Remember
with
that?
Him.
Oh, yeah. That was a dude that was going to whoop my ass.
So hang on a second. Let's back up and tell that part of the story. So when you hear Alex say, don't touch me. Yeah.
Some dude tried to grab my hand.
That was
Dean Ridings.
Dean Ridings that came up to you and you know, he gently grabbed you by the arm, was trying to politely escort you. And you
go, I don't ever, ever have anything good to say about Dean Ridings.
No, the guy's
ever.
The guy's a prick. you go, don't touch me. And he walks away. But he came back with a big dude. You know, wearing a suit and an earpiece.
Oh, yeah. No. That dude was going to mess me up if I didn't go with him.
That dude was probably...
He didn't have to touch me.
Yeah.
He just... And I'm like, I guess it's my time to go. Yeah. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, he was 6'5", 300 easy.
Oh, yeah. That's a big boy. Yeah. That's another thing about the story is at a certain point, you got to count your, you know, you got to count your wins and losses and you got to get out of there. You know, you got to get out of there once you've made your point. Don't go too far.
You made your point and, you know, you got your coverage. And if you took it beyond that, it would have been too much.
Yeah. So, no, I would have gotten in trouble if I would have took it beyond that. But
yeah,
it was. Here's the thing: is
that was fun, man. That was.
I would have never met Danielle without that day.
Oh, really?
She found out about my campaign because of that.
Well, there you go. And like I said, that did get you forget how much that went national.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of libertarians weren't happy with me about that one, by the way.
I don't understand why, because
they viewed it as a property rights thing.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's. There, if there's one thing that you should put on an equal footing, it's people's access to information regarding who they elect to run the government. You know what I'm saying?
Huh?
That should be on an equal footing because it's government anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. This is why, honestly, this is why the nap sucks, though. This is why the nap's no good.
What are you talking about? The nap is awesome. The problem with the nap is government exists. If it didn't exist,
well,
it'd be perfect.
No. They're viewing this as a violation. They're viewing this day. These people are viewing this day of what happened right there as a violation of the NAP. Non-aggression principle.
I totally disagree with that.
Well, I understand that you do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is that that's the point that they're making about it is that this was the Florida Press Association's event. I infringed on their rights to hold an event and exclude or include whoever they want to include or exclude. You know what I mean? Like that's their viewpoint upon it. I don't agree with the viewpoint, by the way.
Right.
But I'm just saying that's where some people end up having. Screw that. That was a great. One of the greatest days for libertarians in the state of Florida, by the way.
It actually is.
Like, none of them have come up with anything better than that other than, like, killing a goat and drinking their blood.
And,
you know? Like, nothing's got more attention in the since 2010 than that.
And the
other than your stuff.
Other than my stuff. And the reality of it is that the ones calling that a violation of the NAP are simply doing it because they wouldn't have the balls to do anything like that.
Well, because they lack the testicular fortitude to do anything other than quietly complain in the back of a Denny's.
It's glorious.
I mean, it's just the truth, though.
All right.
Again, no balls whatsoever. You know what? Here's the other story. Here's the other part of this that you should take away from it for Brian. You got to make sure that the people that you have there have some balls.
Right.
Because you need them.
Right.
Because you're going to need a little bit of sack in order to get some of this stuff
done.
Yeah,
talk is cheap. People need to do things.
Yeah. And you know what? Interrupting a press conference like that, man?
And I will tell you this.
I've been thrown out of places nicer than this.
This is, and a lot of this, honestly, is my influence on all of our activities. I've always been of the belief, and even back then, that you have to be gorilla to get media attention.
You definitely added the gorilla. Definitely added gorilla. I'll give you that. You added gorilla, you know?
And, well, in the early days, that was the only way we got any press. It wasn't.
Oh, especially in 10.
Oh, in 10, in 11, in 12.
You got a little bit more then, but.
It was all guerrilla stuff. And it's again, I don't want to go into the stuff we did, but it was, you know, it was all that type of stuff. We'll talk about more of what we did, but yeah, it's, so that's a lesson out there to you. You know, you Brian and the other folks that are asking for us to tell these stories is you gotta be a little gorilla, but you gotta do it in a way that doesn't make you look crazy and a way that you don't push the envelope too far. Well, and I think that's a good example of just the, that knife edge.
Don't be gorilla for the sake of being gorilla.
Right.
Be gorilla for a reason when the reason presents itself.
Be gorilla when the thing that you're going up against is unjust and the people will recognize the injustice of it.
But yeah, and don't, yeah, but don't try to make up the injustice of it, though.
Correct.
Just let it be what it is.
Don't then, fabricate it. Don't. Yeah. But if it exists, then use it to your advantage.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good way of looking at it. That is definitely a good way of looking at it. So,
okay, we are up against the clock here.
There's a hard break.
We don't have hard breaks, but you know. Listen, hour number two, we've got some really great stuff in here. We're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about in
Hour number two, we've got a lot of different things that we're going to talk about. First one is that the CEO of Overstock.com gave...
This is some crazy shit, folks.
But there is definitely something within this interview that needs to be discussed, that he kind of gave a picture into the deep state, for whatever we want to call it, in a way that I don't think a lot of people are really picking up on. And he's either completely crazy and none of it's true, or it's going to be
I don't
true.
Think he is. And I don't think the media thinks he is, because they're saying, hey, they've some vetted of this stuff. So that's hour number two.
NBC doesn't really understand the Electoral College, which, of course, we understand.
Yeah, they
Represent
don't.
U.S. did a video, and while there's a lot in the video that I agree with, it comes to their solutions to where I think that they really miss the point of what actual solutions would be. We had red flag arrest of the week and how the really media portrayed it as a mass shooting.
Right.
And how this thing of like pre-crime is going to be the case.
How a meme can get you put in jail these days.
Oh, and also the manslaughter conviction of the gentleman that was requesting Stand Your Ground for
the
this
Florida
week.
Stand Your Ground case. Yeah. Yep.
So Florida man.
Can't actually pronounce his name. It's like Jijivec or something.
It's in jail guy.
Yeah. In jail guy. So we're going to talk about that, but that is for subscribers only. So if you haven't done so already, folks, if you've enjoyed the first hour, you know, go on to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-A-N or R-E-O-N.
Yeah, patreon.com/unattendedbaggage.
Sign up for hour number two, and we'll be glad to talk to you again.
We'll see you on the other side.